Yeah, coming over to your house was the first time I've ever, like, done anything with dicks. Pookie, shut up!
That was so random.
Oh, I love that woman.
Welcome.
Okay, there we go.
Welcome to Real Life. I mean, episode 83 of the Try Games Internet podcast, which is a week late. But, you know, don't blame me. Blame Rock Band, because that's what we were doing last week, which is why we didn't record it last week, because we were really tired and we stayed up until 5 a.m. cleaning up the shit, and then we went home. And
just
then
just late. We were fucking blasted. And Al drove home.
Rockin'!
Yeah, what they said. today is, as usual, a Sunday, and we're recording on a lovely noon after daylight saving shit. After which we've lost an hour of sleep.
Raped.
Did you just say raped?
Raped. That's what I call it.
Oh.
In the spring. Spring rape. Fall. I haven't come up with that yet.
Am I correct in that our government was the one who pushed it ahead? Like, it was supposed to happen near spring, and our government pushed it ahead because they thought it would save more energy?
I think it was Bushel.
Yeah, it's Bush.
And, you know, technically we haven't saved anything because all the reports show that nothing has changed. And not only that, are we now 2 hours ahead of the world?
I don't know, but I got an MBA from my college, so I know what I'm talking about when it comes to doing good business. And I'm a good president.
When did he do this?
Last year.
Okay.
Yeah, because this is the first year it came into effect.
He's probably like, shit, I'm getting kicked out of office next year. I got to think of something, you know, something big
up,
to
yeah.
do.
Well, I'm not really
I think he thought of
enough
big
a month,
things.
You know?
Jesus Christ. So we're 2 hours ahead of the world then, right?
That means,
not really.
According to him, that means we're advanced past the rest of the world. Isn't that good?
No.
We're so advanced now. Oh. But yes, we are going to forego the news today because, you know, there are 2 weeks worth of shit that's going to pile up and we won't be able to get to all of it. So we'll answer Digimatrix's question, which we skipped last week, as well as Vertigo's question, which came in just after we stopped recording. I did do that lame-ass little one-man recording session last week just for anybody who was impatient enough to not wait for this. So you'll hear Alfredo and Antonio's responses to this to their questions this week. And
yay,
we will talk about a topic for once, which we haven't done in a while. Just picked out a topic from thin air or maybe from our asses and just rant about it. But first, what you been playing? I gotta flip a coin.
Dun, 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 dun. Heads or tails? Heads or tails? Heads or tails? Heads or tails?
It's heads! Ow!
All right!
Oh, it's always me.
Don't be bitter.
I'm not bitter.
Hey, Bert. You got
actually
some snack?
Shut up.
Got some snack?
Pikachu!
Hey, Bert.
I'm so fat.
I'm so fat.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll just start with stuff that I actually finished. I'm very happy to say that I finished Guitar Hero 3 after all these months. And I finished Devil May Cry after all these years.
Which
and,
one?
The first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, huh. It took me 4 years to beat it.
Yeah, I never even got to beat them.
I got like halfway through the game and I was like, fuck this shit, this game's too hard. And then Evelyn was like, pick this game up. And I'm like, no. And then she said, come on. I said, I'm not going to beat the boss. And then
she was your enforcer?
And it was weird. Like, all the bosses that I couldn't beat, she sat there and watched me fight, watched me play, and I beat the boss. I'm like, aww. All right, fine. She's like, I'm your good luck charm. I'm like, shut up.
Here's how the conversation really went. Evelyn, let's have sex. But you haven't finished Devil May Cry. All right, I'll finish that first.
Oh, if only it could happen like that. Unfortunately,
aww.
Yeah. Anyway, I've been playing Phoenix Wright when I can. Trials and Tribulations, pretty good. And
objection.
I played Contra for like 5 seconds.
Contra 4.
And then I had then I had to do some more work. I put in God of War after I beat Devil May Cry. I play a little bit of that. Running around chasing women with their titties hanging out. It's really fun. You know the lady with the green dress, and she's getting like carried away by the gargoyle harpy things, and she's got her titties hanging out. And she's like, Kratos, save me!
Yes.
And I don't know what her name is. And he like screams out her name. And
oh, yes, yes, that one, yeah.
Yeah. And then you talk to the gravedigger, which,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, so you're almost done.
No. You gotta be kidding me.
Could you not?
I just started the game like a day and a half ago, 2 months ago.
How many hours did you put into it?
Maybe three or something, I don't know.
You're almost done.
No, you still got a while to go.
Cause I'm like, you know, I beat Devil May Cry in like 6 hours in game time. So, yeah, if I heard God of War was kind of short, but
it's
shorter
than
that.
Yeah, God of War 1 is short.
8 to 10 hours, depending.
Well, it depends on what you're doing, yeah.
Yeah.
So that means if I'm like kicking everybody's ass, I could probably beat the game in like 6 hours, just like Devil May Cry?
If you go really fast, but honestly, I don't think it'll take you 6. Okay. Not because I think you suck. No, not that. I'm just saying because.
Oh, you
like,
mean to think it's taking me longer?
Yeah,
just
like you'll be playing it, and you'll probably end up just like taking your time and enjoying it because it's just like really that fun to just like. It's one of those games that finishes quickly. You don't have to rush through it, you know, because it finishes quickly on its own. But like, you know, it's so enjoyable that like you know you never feel the pressure to just oh shit I have to finish this now, you know. So it'll probably take you a healthy 8 to 9. I mean, what you said the lady with the bazoombas, you know, kind of flailing in the wind. What have you done before that?
I'm still in the Athens,
right? Athens,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and there was a boss that I beat very recently. I'm trying to think. No. Did I beat
the
boss?
You haven't got to the desert yet?
No. I just got Zeus's bolt. And then I.
Oh
like
man! No.
Oh, yeah, you got a healthy amount to go. You got good meta game to go. Yeah.
But you said you met the gravedigger, right?
Yeah, but that was like right in the town square.
I
don't really know anything about him yet, so I guess it's still really early.
After the gravedigger, you got to meet that girl who was like carried away by the gargoyle. You have to do some like nifty platforming shit and. After that, it opens the doorway to the desert, I believe.
Okay.
And then you go to the desert, and the desert sucks.
Okay, I'll look forward to that. I also picked up Super Smash Bros. Brawl last night in a freezing cold wind the Long Island parking lot. And it was pretty cool.
Well, it's Long Island, so by default it sucks. But go ahead.
Yeah. man, I enjoyed my passing of the hour from 159 to 3 while playing Smash Brothers. And unlocked a couple of characters.
It's a time warp, man.
And some stuff. Yeah, man.
It's like Terminators coming through time.
Yeah, it's freaking big.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Do you watch the Terminator TV show?
Huh?
The Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles TV show.
Nah,
Fox.
Never watched it.
Oh, then you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, then fuck you too.
Yeah, I recommend that people get Smash Brothers.
Your
so
mother.
I can whoop their asses and get my ass whooped too. And just on the side, I play like Poker Smash one night, really late, and it was fun.
Did you
and
purchase, or is it still demo?
Oh no, I purchased it.
Bless you.
Does it have a multiplayer?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta get that then.
Oh, and finally,
Smash!
Last game I played was Audio Surf, and that game is freaking awesomely addictive. And I'm mad because remember I told you that Austin, I told you that I got number one worldwide on the BT song that I sent you.
No, yeah.
These dudes, two people dethroned me, and then they sent me an email and said you have been dethroned, and I tried to improve my score, and I just couldn't do it.
Like, I'm the only one who knows this song. God damn it.
But I'm still number one in the world in another song, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, look at you.
The fuck is calling.
And before I finish, I just want to thank the guys at GFW for talking about it and letting me know how awesome this game is.
Or me for saying, have you heard about Audio Surf? Check this out. No, I haven't heard about it. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I think I ignored that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ignoro. Yeah. Ignorozoid.
They actually,
and then
like,
you sent me a Kotaku story about some people farting.
I did?
Or something along those lines. You know how they always publish stories that make no sense?
Yeah, I know. I don't remember anymore. But that's cool.
Oops. Stupid blog.
All right, so let's see. Let me pass the buck over to Tony.
Oh, me? Why?
Yeah, what you been playing? Because it's your
turn. Actually, it's going to be a disappointing week. I haven't played anything. Shut up. I haven't played anything. What? Okay, I got it. Okay, close the door. Get out.
Random household incident.
You learn personal stuff about me every week. Okay, so I haven't played anything, but I have to say, for the past 2 weeks, I've been playing Rock Band. Not that I've been physically playing it, but since I've left your house and played it. Yeah, and also physically, my arm, what? I can't hear either. You're loud, we're loud. God damn it. Get off the phone.
Give that woman a mic.
Yeah, can we no, physically, I feel like I've been playing it for about 2 weeks too, because my arm is wrecked. Totally fucking wrecked. It's been a while since I played drums. So okay. I guess since, in 2007, July. Yeah, coming over to your house was the first time I've ever, done anything with, sticks. You know, other than beat people.
Or smack location in the face.
Yeah, so it was really fun. Played my favorite song, Justice for All, on Expert, and even that was just way too fucking crazy. It's way too accurate. That's what it is. It's like, you gotta hit everything, I guess I'm, off on my timing or whatever, but, it feels like some of the notes carry through and some don't. I don't know why. Do you experience that?
No, but I think, well, two things. First of all, if you think that your timing is off, I mean, compare yourself to the other people who tried to play and couldn't even keep a beat. You blew them out of the water. But I think what it might be is that you're used to playing, real drums and the real songs, and either they're putting in notes that you aren't used to seeing in there, or they're taking out notes that you're used to seeing in there. Probably, so that instinctively you play them, or you either play the notes that aren't there or you don't play the notes that are there, but they might have not done, I'm not going to say as good a job, but they might have not done the appropriate job according to what you remember the song being like. So...
No. I'm talking about the pad in general. Like, for instance,
really?
If anybody plays Justice, like in the beginning, it goes and you got to do that trill. And for some reason, it looked like most of those trills were not going through.
Yeah, the trilling is hard. I mean, there's the beginning of Cherub Rock. You know, it starts with the quieter trill, I can never get that down, but I'm not a drummer.
Right.
But it's a simple enough trill to get down. Like, I mean, if once you get the rhythm down, it's you know, just like that, but I can never get it. So, I think I agree with you at that point. Like, with the trills, it does seem kind of strict, I guess. But maybe that's just a byproduct of the fact that it's, they're
just close
together.
Well, not necessarily strict, but, it's not registering.
Oh. I don't know.
The pad, either the pad is, there's, some malfunction. Not in your pad, necessarily, but, in the programming of it.
I don't think so, because I've hit it very lightly and had it register.
Okay.
So, but maybe that's the problem. Maybe it is too sensitive, and so it registers the extra hits, or it thinks it's registering extra hits. So I don't know.
Okay. But that was fantastic, I gotta say. And watching Rob beat everybody in fucking boxing.
Oh, Ron.
That was just Ron. Sorry.
I gotta upload that video.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Speaking of which, I did upload videos of Al and Tony singing.
Oh, God. No!
Yeah. www.gamespot.com/user/MrChupon with a 0 / videos.
What else? I haven't played anything because I'm really studying for this upcoming test in May. But I have to buy two games. I have to buy, and surprisingly, they're both for PSP.
Woo!
I have to buy
God of War,
Chains of Olympus, and I gotta buy Patapon because I heard it was just so fun.
Patapon. Patapon. Pon pon patapon. Patapon. Pon pon patapon.
Well, wow, that's good for your PSP. It's probably like sitting in the corner right now going,
love me, please. Please, Tony, it's in a drawer. Love me. It's in a drawer.
It's in the drawer.
Lonely, crying. Poor thing.
And then when you open the drawer, it like dries its tears really quickly and goes, I'm ready.
You know what? I'm kind of upset.
Why?
I thought that the God of War PSP was coming out when God of War came out.
Don't.
I was so duped. I was duped because I didn't read. It's like all I saw was red God of War PSP. God of War comes out March 4th, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna get this shit. And then I didn't see anything. Like I looked on the websites to see if it was out for sale so I could pre-order or something, but I wasn't gonna pre-order it. And I didn't see it at all. I'm like, what the fuck? So I went back to the website and they're like, it releases in June. I'm like, you motherfuckers! So I won't be getting a PSP till June.
God, you should gouge your eyes out for deceiving you.
Aww.
Yeah.
Let's put a Band-Aid on your boo-boo and send you on your way.
Boobies.
Boobies. Ow, what are you playing? What's the
one? Al's the black one. I'm the Asian one. That's my turn.
Really? Are you sure?
I
black
think so.
Black and tan, bitches.
Black and sausages, what?
Black and tan, bitches.
Oh, black and tan, okay. well, since we didn't do one last week, last week I finished Bomberman Land for PSP finally. It's one of those
fucking
things where
game.
I say don't buy unless you have no Bomberman for any console, then you could buy it for the Bomberman mode, because that mode is really, everyone loves Bomberman, you can't go wrong with Bomberman, it's Bomberman, yay, but...
Never played it.
Single player is garbage.
Yeah.
Complete garbage. Oh yeah, and some forums complained that the review was taking too long. I can't remember who it was. I was just like, yeah, awesome. I got a day job and I have a life and they entrust and I'm trying to write a good review on this and actually finish the game, and not try to, steal the review from someone else or anything. I'm trying to write the full review, but that's okay, Yeah. But I don't think anyone cared anyway, because I wouldn't care about Bomberman Land if I was looking for a review. But yeah, don't buy it. Or you can buy it and then say that I warned you. And then say, that you're an idiot for not listening to my warning. But I also finished Orcs and Elves, which took, a total of 5 hours and 19 minutes to finish, which is really short for a dungeon crawler. But otherwise, good game. Decent game. It's not for everyone. But it has no music either, so if you like music, you're fucked. But, it's one of those things where, if someone kind of walks into a store and just wants, a casual game for the DS and they don't really want to spend the time to go through a dungeon crawler and get lost and die all over again and then wade through menus and all that shit. There's no... And this is a negative. There's no character customization, but it goes so fast that it's kind of who cares, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're in there to fucking collect loot and kill things and get in and out and just have something fun to play on the subway without or on your commute to work without worrying that you're gonna die without saving or anything like that. So it's mm-hmm. like we said before when we were talking about it on mobile phone and everything, it's good. I mean, it's better as a mobile game because it costs less and it's more impressive to see it on a phone than on a DS.
Oh yeah.
But
and it's better than jerking off on a train.
I would hope
well,
so.
Maybe not.
You can't get arrested for playing
trouble.
Orcs and Elves on the train.
It's less trouble. Maybe not better, but less trouble.
And I've been playing this DS game called Draglaid, which is a typical anime, I want to be the best in the world at fighting
oh, God.
Kind of
I can't
game.
Believe you're playing Draglaid. That's crazy, man.
It's awesome, man.
I wouldn't even touch that game with a 10-foot pole.
You, really?
I don't Pokemon? Know. It looks too... No, Pokemon is different.
No, oh, see, it's Draglaid, different.
Yeah,
oh, I like pants.
You also played Naruto, right?
No, I don't. I'm not interested in Naruto either.
Really?
I like pants.
Okay, good. No, I like pants.
Let's fight.
I like shorts.
I like pants.
So what are you saying that it's so horrible about this game?
Oh no, I didn't say it was horrible. It's just that the whole anime thing and exactly what you just said kind of turns me away from it. I think I'm getting too old.
No, you're not. You just look old.
Pokemon. Yeah, that stuff is crap, but like the actual gameplay is pretty good. It's like, I mean, think of it this way: Mega Man Battle Network for the Game Boy Advance was like one of the worst offenders in like crappy anime, like type of stuff, with a poor translation. But like underneath, it was, you know, it had some really good mechanics. Well, depending on, you know, what type of game you like. This is similar, though it's not as deep. It's just, it's like, imagine, well, don't imagine. The gameplay is kind of like Smash Brothers in terms of how it controls. Like, in terms of comparing Smash Brothers to a fighting game, because Smash Brothers isn't really a fighting game in the Street Fighter sense. But it's a fighting game in terms of the fact that you fight. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like, there are no true, you know, unblockable combos and you know, slow strategies and, you know, a depth of moves. It's the depth in Smash Brothers is all about, well, what it seems to me is all about, like, is outside of, like, your core moveset. You know what I mean? Like, using knowing the stages, knowing the items, you know, having the dexterity to, you know, keep yourself alive, whereas Street Fighter is all about, like, knowing the super moves and when exactly to use them and comboing them in and all that shit. This is kind of like the Smash Brothers type, where it's more about, like, you know, being dexterous and knowing, you know, except it's not about the stages, see? The stages are plain. They're just 2D fields, and you have, like, a heart attack and a light attack, you know? That's in that simplicity, it's kind of like Smash Brothers.
Okay.
And the combos aren't like Street Fighter. You don't, you know, go up to them and combo into a special move. You don't have any motion, like, down forward punch or anything like that. You've got the A button. That's your special move. But, you know, you can assign different attacks to your A button as you collect them. So it's got a collecting aspect, like Pokemon and, like, Battle Network. And, you know, like, it's got a collecting aspect where you can assign special moves to your touchscreen and use them with the A button. And it's got this really weird rhythm game mechanic where if you're you know, beating the shit out of an enemy and you press the L button, this little meter on the bottom, you know, has little notes that go by, and you have to press the Y button in time with those notes. It's totally overblown. It's just a bunch of, like, yes, the rhythm aspect is there, and you have to press the button in time with the rhythm, but, like, it's so simplistic that it's like, it's nothing. It doesn't feel like it's anything really special. Like, you might as well have just, you know, displayed an XXYXYYX combo on the screen instead of having, like, you know, it's just like that.
Okay.
But if you mess up the timing, your combo ends. So, okay, you know, it's like a custom combo in Street Fighter Alpha. But it still adds a layer of, you know, some interesting layer to it, even if, you know, it's simplistic. It's kind of cool that way. There's online play, which I haven't tried yet, but it's supposed to be pretty good. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's a if you can get past the end, I want to save the world. I'm going to be the strongest fighter ever. You know, if you can bypass that.
Believe it.
I guess you could do that by turning off the sound, unless it's in the text.
No, they don't. It's not voiceover.
Oh, so it's the text.
There's no voiceover. So it's
you
all
close
text.
Your eyes.
But like, so much of it, like I said, so much of it's irrelevant that you can either just, you know, hit A and get through it, or in certain scenes you can press start to skip them altogether. So at least they give you that option, you know, you can get past that. And really, like, again, like, you know, games that are, like, overly anime-styled, you know, like, maybe the text is annoying, but, like, the graphics are almost always, at the very least, like, good artistically, you know? And that's the case here. Like, it's good to look at, you know, they have some nice character sprites, and it's, like I said, it's fun if you can get past all that crap, and definitely for kids. It's not too complicated for kids to get, but it's still, you know, fun enough for someone who's like 90, maybe, or a pedophile to have.
I think 90's kind of like still a kid.
Kind of like what?
Still a kid. You know how the older you get, the more like a child should become.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, if, yeah, like
diapers and shit.
Yeah, if you're like us, you know, play games. If you're like total American gamer who's scared of Japan, of course you're not gonna like it. But, and the last thing, Audio Surf again. Like Al, I've been playing that, and I found that, you know, you might look at it and you might think that it's a game that, you know, techno tracks are like the best and it'll be all psychedelic and all that shit. Rap works really well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you put in some, you know, some really, really bass-heavy beats, Like, and not, like, I know that sounds like an, you know, like a redundancy, but not all rap is very, you know, heavy, heavy like that. Like, if you put on, like, an old Dr. Dre song, the way that the track kind of stops and goes is disorienting in a good way. Like, it kind of keeps you on your feet.
Kind of game is this?
Well, Audio Surf is, it's a combination of, you know, a simple match three puzzle game like Bejeweled, you know, match three.
Okay.
And, set on a, I don't want to say like it's Guitar Hero-esque, but I guess it is kind of,
mm-hmm.
on a Guitar Hero-esque really. Track where there are things constantly streaming down at you.
Okay.
And so you have this, what is it, like 3x6, Al? This grid? You have a 3x6 grid. A what?
7.
Okay, a 3x7 grid near you at the bottom of the screen. Every time you run into a colored block, mm-hmm. it gets added to your grid, kind of like it would in a puzzle game. So, like, okay. if you're in the right lane, because they're lanes, mm-hmm. it's like a highway. If you're in the right lane and you're grabbing all these little boxes, they will all fall into the right of your grid. And then when you combine three or more of the same color, if they're touching in any way, if they're in an L shape or if they're in a box or if they're in a straight line, no diagonals, it has to be touching. You know, if they're touching that way, then they clear. So then, like, the object is, just like any Bejeweled game, is to, you know, try to time it so that you get more and more colors aligned up without mm-hmm. overfilling the grid. Now, the colors come at you with the rhythm, in rhythm to the song.
Oh, okay.
And the track itself also undulates to the rhythm of the song. So
that's cool.
While the gameplay itself is kind of plain, like, the visual experience and just the sensation of it all is really augmented by the music. And the catch here is that, not the catch, I'm sorry, the gimmick here is that you can use any MP3 or any CD that you own in your computer.
And it'll do it to that
and
song?
It'll,
wow.
It'll, mm-hmm. it'll analyze a song, and it'll give you a unique track based on that song. And it's really,
it's pretty
a lot
cool.
of it, yeah, it's really cool, and a lot of it's about, like, hey, what would this song look like if I put it uh-huh. into Audio Surf? And it does it, like, it does amazing things with, sometimes, like, with the most mundane, with the most mundane music, too. Like I said, like,
huh.
even if you take, like, a plain rap song, like, you know, a plain old misogynistic, nothing special rap song with a good beat, you'll get something really cool out of it. Because, like, in a racing game, let's say, you expect the track to just be coming at you constantly as you're racing. Like, mm-hmm. the road just comes at you smoothly. In this game, like I was just saying before, if you put in a rap song and the beat's really strong, like, the track will kind of go and then stop. Go and then stop according to the beat. So it's got this effect of, like, you know, you think you're going to, like, collect a note, or you think you're going to run into a wall, because, like, sometimes gray blocks come at you and they're supposed to be walls that you don't want to run into.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes a wall will come at you and you're about to hit it, but the beat stops, you know, because it's like, dun, 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 you know, it stops and you're like, oh, shit, I'm safe. Then it goes again and you're screwed. But the best way to understand what it feels like is to, you know, go on YouTube and take a look at it. It's not going to explain the gameplay to you, but it'll show mm-hmm. you the sensation of what it's like to play it. one day I want to try putting one of our podcasts in there and just playing it for an hour. And then when we all start interrupting each other, all these blocks will start coming in, like, at the screen at the same time. But that's Audio Surf. It's $10 for anybody who's interested. It's $10. It's on Steam. I don't know if there's a console version planned for it yet. Probably not, but I couldn't imagine that it would never come out for consoles. I'm sure at one point it will. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. Download the demo. You get 4 songs for the demo, and then, like, once those 4 songs are up, you can't play it anymore. You have to buy it, but it's still a good taste of it. And don't do it on drugs. Because I would assume that you would, like, puke all over your monitor and then, like, go insane if you tried to play that game on drugs. It's like Rez. Actually, no. It's probably a perfect game to play on drugs.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I've been playing. That's what we've been all playing. Ow! We're done. Alright.
Yeah, I'm watching Audio Surf right now. Pretty cool.
Yeah, right. And there's, like, 14 different characters that you can use. Like, there's a mm-hmm. couple of, there's one play style which is called Mono, which only has one color. You don't want to run into the walls, which are the gray ones. And they have, okay. like, a regular one. And then they have a pro where you can jump and you can extend your fins so you can capture all of the colors without having to change lanes.
Yeah, that's the strength of it.
Like, huh?
I said that's the strength of it, and because like when I first got it, I'm like, okay, this is going to be something that I play for about a week and then I'm done, but that's $10, so that's fine. But then you look at it and there's so many different modes.
Yeah.
That like you're like, oh shit, I got to try this one out. Now I got to try this one out. This is what it looks like in mono. Now what does it look like in Point Man? What does it look like mm-hmm. in the other one, you know? So
yeah, Point Man has the multiple colors where you can pick up colors and match them up.
United Audio Surf of Benetton.
They have double
they have
vision.
Dragon Force.
Well, everybody has Dragon Force, so you know you just put it in there. And
does it come with the game, or no? You just download. You put it on MP3.
You would have to have it like on a CD or download it.
Okay.
I mean, it could be any. I even use like some of my old demos from my old band and played
cool.
to those.
I used the freaking theme from Axelay's First Stage, the Super Nintendo game. That actually is a dude. Try that. That's a really good thing to play on Audio Surf. The First Stage of Axelay.
Hmm. Okay, I'll have to get it. I did the First Stage at Ikaruga.
Oh shit!
Okay, a lot of people did that one too. It was pretty cool. I think. Oh, and I did Butsutekai too. The
Butsutekai.
That one was crazy because it was like the road would bump like boom, 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 and it would constantly be going up and down.
Yeah.
It was cool. And then I have to talk about this. I did Change is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke. You know, I was born by the river. Anybody know?
Yeah, I think so.
Tony,
yeah.
You know the song, right?
No.
You don't know that song?
What? No. Fun. Oh, what a shame. No, I don't know that song.
All right, well then, fuck you too.
who's that song by?
The whenever Sam Cooke stops singing, like he has these points where he sings and then he's quiet and he sings, he's quiet. When he's quiet, it slows down and you see the stuff like coming really slow and then he'll open his mouth and sing and it'll
and
come really
go,
fast.
And then go like really fast, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really cool.
What song is that? What were you talking about there?
It's called "The Change Is Gonna Come" by Sam Cooke. It's an old song. Old.
Who's
Black
the song
Google
by?
Song. Huh?
Who's the song by?
Sam Cooke.
Oh, Sam Cooke. Never heard of it.
Cookie, cookie, cook, cook.
No. Cookie, cook.
All right, so that's what we've been playing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even though we're back from the break after what we've been playing and my headphones are stuck around the speaker.
That audio surf, man.
While I unwind this speaker thing, Al, why don't you, fuck, stupid speaker, tell us about the topic.
Yes. The topic for today involves basically the heads-up display of games, mostly shooters, things like Gears of War, and a more recent example like Army of Two, where the I'm really trying to come up with the proper word for this, but the way to show the player that they're taking damage, aka their health meter, is not actually plastered on the screen. Hey, go cops and go woo-hoo! Fire people. Woo-hoo! All right, so
read him his right.
He's an asshole. So basically, the HUDs for these games are evolving to a point where you can be more immersed into the game without having to look at a number or some bar that's going down as you're taking damage. And I thought that this type of evolution is really a nice plus, a nice positive thing in games that can probably take things to a whole new level. Because now there's one less thing that you have to put on the screen and one more thing that you could possibly put on the screen. And I see that like it looks like things are kind of moving to a point where they want games to have less of a HUD and more of an experience of what those elements tell you.
It's definitely so not a new concept, though.
Yeah, it's like as opposed to having dials and meters on the screen and things like that. As things happen, they let you know what the hell is going on in more innovative and natural ways. So, you're basically just talking about that and the impact on gaming and what it could possibly do for other genres other than shooters. Because that's the only place I've really seen it so far. Right.
Well,
there is, it does appear actually in Fight Night for the 360, and the cat doesn't like this. There she goes. But in Fight Night, not the Xbox version, but the 360 version, the whole conceit was that you could tell when your boxer was about to hit the canvas just by looking at him. Not at the screen, but at him. His movements were a little slower. He would slouch a little bit. You could see him breathing more heavily, things like that. But otherwise, yeah, most of it has been in shooters, and I think the first time I noticed it was in Call of Duty 2. But actually, before I go on with that, Tony, you were about to say something.
Yeah, no, I was saying definitely not a new concept. I think the earliest game that I've played it on was on the regular the PS1, and that would be Silent Hill. It didn't have a health screen to, you know, to talk of, except when you press select, then you could see the status of your player's health. Other than that, the only way you would gauge whether he was, like, in trouble or, you know, or good was that the handle vibrated.
Right.
I don't know if you guys, like, played it or...
No, yeah, no, that's definitely true. That
I think it's like the heart monitor.
Yeah, that and Resident Evil did the same thing. But I think, like, in these games, there's none what to speak of soever. Like, you can't even pause to see it.
Right,
it's just
right.
Gone.
But, like, as far as playing through the game, like, on a normal screen, sure, it could, like, fit all these, you know, other information on there instead of, like, displaying health. But, like, they haven't really thought of anything else. I mean, like if they did that with ammo, I think it'd be a huge disadvantage.
Right.
There's it'd be hard to tell.
What was it? There was one game called The Getaway
for the Getaway.
PS2 that instead of a life meter, the more you got hurt, there was this blood stain on your shirt that got bigger and bigger.
Yep. And then if you stay in the corner, the blood would go away.
Yeah.
I remember that. We used to make jokes about that in real life,
yeah.
We used to make so many jokes. Oh, my God, I'm hurt. I got to go sit in the corner. Oh, I'm getting better. Oh, yes.
But what's funny is that they combine that with Halo, where the first this is actually based on Halo's life mechanic, where with the shield. In Halo, you had the shield and a life bar. And whenever your shield got down to zero, every subsequent hit would start chipping away at your life meter. Now, if you hid behind a rock, like in The Getaway, your blood stain would disappear, or your shield would come back. So it had that, the boop, that whole thing that everybody hears in Halo. So it's like that rechargeable thing where, hey, we want to make a game where you're not worried about running for health packs. Although Halo did have health packs. It's like we have the shield that's always there. If you're in a shitty situation, you can always get out. You'll never be in a situation where you have one health and you have to keep on saving and reloading. You'll never be in that situation. It's all about pushing the player forward.
You know what's funny? I find myself in a situation in Halo.
Where you were...
I have one health and just a shield, and there's like 1,000 enemies in front of me, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to be able to do this.
But like, yeah, I mean, versus Wolfenstein, say, where you have like 1% health and zero armor, and you're screwed. Like, this shield is always recharging, so it gives you this whole push-forward mentality, but it also gives you a be cautious and, you know, fire, take cover, fire, take cover. And then Call of Duty 2, I mean, I'm sorry, Halo 2 removed the health meter altogether and just left you with the shield, and left you with a more powerful shield, you know?
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And then that mentality carried over into Call of Duty 2, where in Call of Duty 1, you have a life bar. You have, you know, 99% health and all that shit, like traditional World War II shooters. But in Call of Duty 2, there is no life. You get shot. The more you get shot, the bigger this kind of red outline on your screen gets, the louder your heartbeat gets, and the less color, kind of like in Uncharted, the less color you start seeing on screen. And when you hide behind a rock, you know, your heartbeat slows down, and the red kind of goes away, and the color returns. So with the heartbeat and everything, it really gives you this sensation of, like, you know, holy shit, I am about to croak. Like, I am getting hit really hard, you know, because, like, you can't even see anymore because the red is so, you know, you get this one little, it's like glaucoma, you get this one little thing in the middle that you can see out of, but everything else is covered in red. So it's really effective that way. And then, of course, Gears of War does the same thing, except it gives you this little gear in the middle of the screen that actually shows you.
What a skull.
Yeah, how you know, hard you're getting hit. And then, of course, you guys saw Uncharted, where the more you get hit, the more black and white it becomes. Now, what is it in Army of Two? What do they do?
I think in Army of Two, it takes the color away from the screen. I don't remember.
It just takes it, okay.
But I definitely want to find out.
Right.
I didn't like the Gears of War, though. that health meter was like, you know, even though they show it on screen, it's not like, you know, prominent throughout the game and stuff like that. It's just when you get shot.
Icon.
But like, you don't know if it's going down or not, if it's totally recharged. There's been many times I've been hiding behind a rock thinking that, you know, maybe it'll be totally healed now, and I stick my head up and get shot once. So it's not really a good indicator just seeing that skull with the gears on the screen, because you don't know how, you know, how long it takes to like clear off where you could just go and I guess get shot again. You know,
in my experience, it usually stays on the screen until it's fully healed. But, like, I think that the times that you've mentioned, like, that I've experienced as well, like, I pop out and I get smacked and I die. Like, usually I think it's like I get gibbed by, like, a rocket or a headshot or something like that. But what the thing that I dislike about that specific one is that, like, it's smack in the middle of your screen. And so it kind of gets in the way. And I can't see what's on the screen because it's, like, right in the middle. I'm like, can you please move? You know, just a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, please.
Also, there's no reticule. Hate that.
Yeah, and so you press L. I think, yeah, that's the part of the, quote, strategy, end quote, of the game. I don't mind it, but, like, I can see how that gets really annoying. You know what some people have done? They've put a piece of tape on the screen.
You did that. You said
no,
you did
I didn't
it.
Do that. I never did that.
You
no,
didn't do
no,
it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I think that's cheating. but, like, yeah, I think if one person does it, everybody should be, you know, told so that they can do it. Oh, yeah, that was an email that came in from one of our listeners. But, I think the side effect of this whole, you know, immersion thing, or maybe the immersion thing is a side effect of the whole shield recharging thing. I don't know how I feel about it anymore, about, you know, playing a World War II game, but being some kind of super soldier that all I need to do is hide behind a rock, and I'm good again. You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, like, and I know that it's not that much more realistic that, like, oh, I run over a health kit and instantly I'm healed.
No,
but
I mean, but,
you know, it's...
but they should add something realistic, like especially if you're playing like Call of Duty 4 or anything else like that. If it's supposed to be realistic combat, at least have something realistic. Like if you can't tell whether your health is low or if they give you some indicator which is not on screen, like the pad vibrates more or whatever, you should have something realistic, like a medic come over and like heal you, but
right.
You could only, you know, use whatever the medic supplies, you know, is supplied with.
Right.
You know, and that adds more realism to the, you know, because if to me that sounds like that's what they should do instead of like doing the whole, you know, okay, I'm going to rest for a while
and I'm going to recharge.
Sudden,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I kind of had that
at
idea
the very
like
least
that.
Create that illusion. But it's like it's funny because I was playing Half-Life 2, you know, trying to catch up and beat it a while back. I haven't touched it in a while, but I was playing that and I realized that, you know, the whole collecting health pack thing. A lot of people are like, oh, it's old, it's outdated. That's why we have the new system. It's, you know, maybe it's outdated, but I actually find it fun in the sense that it gives you something else to do. It gives you something else to look for and to concern yourself with. Like,
right. It also adds to the strategy.
Right. Like, I've got low health. I've got to be careful here, and I've got to make it to that next point. I can't just hide here and recharge because that's not in this game. I've got to, you know, I've got to do this right. I've got to get to that next point. And it's also one of those things where it's like, it gives you something to collect, I guess. Not to say that you should stuff things to collect in your games like fucking Banjo-Kazooie or Naughty Dog's Jack
and Daxter. Star Fox Adventures. Baphomet Heads.
But like, it's like, it gives you something like, if you come if you uncover a hidden area, there's like, you know, a whole bunch of shit you could collect, like life. And it's like, oh shit, look what I found. Awesome. It's kind of, you know, it just adds another thing to it, you know, aside from like, oh yeah, I collect more ammo. But I don't know, it's give or take. Some people like the superhuman thing just so they can get through the game. So, but on the matter of showing the health on screen, I think that, like Al, I agree that it's a very good advancement in the terms of immersing you in the environment. The problem is that if you were to try to combine that with a traditional health system, which is what I was talking about, then you'd be sitting, you know, if
you're,
it was Call of Duty 2.
Screen.
Huh?
You'd have this fat skull on your screen
yeah.
while you're trying to find a health pack.
Or if Call of Duty 2 is like this huge red splotch, like, you know, surrounding the center of the screen and it doesn't go away and it's like,
oh my god, I can't
really play in this.
Mm-hmm. You know what I think, though? I think that sometimes, like, as a negative of the system, it kind of really leads to your own perception. It leaves you to really determine how much health you have or at what position you're in, because you can't really tell exactly when you're gonna die. At
right.
least with, you know, a health meter, oh my god, there's a sliver left.
You're gonna die!
With a number thing, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm at 1%.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm taking damage like 32, 15, 12, 8. Oh shit, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, you know, oh my goodness, the screen is getting blurry. Do I have one more shot left? I don't know.
Right, right.
So it's like, you know, there is a lack of accuracy in perception.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, as a negative to the negative, meaning a positive.
As a counterpoint.
Huh?
Yeah. It allows you as a human being to determine when it's right for you. And if you fuck up, whose fault is it?
The games.
Definitely.
The games. Like, oh my god, the game is cheating, man.
The other thing is that, like, sometimes things happen so fast that you don't know how much, you know, damage it's doing. You know what I mean? That,
mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I think David Jaffe said it once in an interview. He was just talking about game design and all that stuff. And he's, you know, he kind of hit, you know, for me, you know, as someone who just likes games and doesn't, like, I believe in the art form, and I believe mm-hmm. in the advancement of it. But at the same time, you know, I will be happy with a plain old game. Like mm-hmm. makes no bones about the fact that it's a game and it has mm-hmm. you know, hit points. Like, I don't care that if you're not trying to immerse me, I don't care because I just have fun playing the game. It's the same
right.
mentality behind, like, why I really don't give a shit about story unless it's poor and interrupts the gameplay. So he said something like, he said something along the lines of, like, you know, well, why hide it? I like life bars. I like meters. I like numbers. I like all this stuff on the screen. I like being told things. I like having feedback. A big part of games is feedback, and I like that. And I don't... Well, and he said... I can't remember if he actually said something like this, but I remember reading it, saying or someone else saying something like, you know, while it's good to be immersed in it, it's also, you know, detrimental to the experience where you don't have the information coming at you in a reliable way. It's kind of like Wii games where people are like, oh, I love waving this around. And I'm like, well, you have fun waving it around. This thing is not accurately representing what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? So... There's the plus side and the minus side. There's a whole. It feels more realistic. It feels more immersive. It feels
yeah.
more natural. And minus side is, well, in feeling more natural, you lose a lot of that feedback, a lot of the
yeah.
data. You know,
it's true.
A lot of for me, a lot of gaming is about the proactiveness and the reaction to things, and you react
yep.
to feedback, and. While the screen dimming is more natural feedback, like Al said, it's like you don't get an accurate representation of what it is, so you don't know what to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like I guess it's the difference between do you want to be the type of game player that is more like the military general who sees all the information and wants to make the decision, or do you want to be the type of game player who wants to be stuck in the moment and be uncertain and rely on your wits? So I guess
mm-hmm.
you know they're like, you know, I guess I'm just. Long-windedly repeating what Al said, so I'll shut up.
Yeah, well, I think,
yeah, you are.
I think,
not really.
I think in general, I think the health bar is a disadvantage to you. I mean, let's just put it this way: playing Silent Hill or even Resident Evil, you couldn't really gauge whether, like, you could leave your thing if you go to the select screen and you see your health and you see there's like a yellow line.
Mm.
So you think, okay, I could take about two more shots. Well, guess what? You get hit once and you're dead, and you're like, what the fuck? You know, I'm like, that doesn't accurately gauge the thing. And not only that, the pad wasn't shaking, letting me know, hey, listen, you're about to die. You know, it was just like, it's totally not accurate. If I had
yeah.
an accurate health bar that said, okay,
like a Street
50%,
Fighter style bar.
Exactly. This is 50%. You get hit another time. You know, this is how much energy this thing is going to take from you. And then you're like, oh, yeah, well, that's why I died.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. he takes 50% right off the bat. Instead of like, okay, well, how much did he take off? I have no fucking idea. You know, how am I going to face this thing?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's so it's like in that aspect, I think it's a disadvantage. Of course, you're going to see more on the screen if without the health bar and stuff like
right.
that. But what are we really saving?
Right. I think perhaps that there should probably be like a little option. And like I know a lot of people say this for everything. Like, oh, on the Wii game, there should be an option to use a regular controller. Oh, in this game, there should be an option to see this. Well, yeah, there
right.
should be an option.
Yeah.
I mean, this like even if it's like in Gears of War and like the bar is really small because you get hit three times and you're done anyways. You know, at least it provides that thing for the player who wants to know. Yeah, I would like to know. Like, I would, mm-hmm. I would like that little gear to actually like fill up or empty instead of just get redder and redder and redder because you know, and also for people who are colorblind, they might be fucked.
oh my God, there's a skull on my screen. What does it mean?
There's a green
it's
skull
a
on my screen.
Let
what
me
is
go
that?
Pick it up.
It's red.
It's getting red. What are you talking about? It's just a
no,
skull.
No, it's green.
A it's
green
been 30 days.
What is this, He-Man?
What is this, He-Man?
Oh,
gray
skull.
Red skull. Oh, wait, it's not red because I don't know what red looks
it's
like.
It's gray. I can't call it one.
It's gray. But
what does red taste like?
Jelly.
Delicious.
My wife said cherry.
Every month. I think.
Oh.
Tasteless. How would you conceive of a Smash Brothers type game or Smash Brothers itself with this type of. With this type of health feedback,
it would suck.
do you think there's like imagine it? Do you think there's any way that it could work?
Shut the fuck up over there! Would you stop being sick for a day?
The only way that
just
I
one
think
day
that this would work is if there was some kind of like color feedback or pulsating feedback or something. It has to be something on the character because obviously, since it's a multiplayer game. It's a multiplayer game, and in this case, you can't just like make the screen turn red and make the screen turn red. And, like, who the fuck is dying? You know. So maybe something along the lines of the characters themselves providing visual feedback that they're about to go. I think that might work. I mean, it would be stupid if it was any other kind of thing. Like, oh, the characters get larger as they get hit.
Right,
and,
right.
And then
because then that makes them be hit easier.
Yeah, that too.
Because it affects gameplay.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you have this, like, big foot on the screen. And another big foot, like, with a leg.
Foot.
And then this, like, bottom of a dress. And you're, like, tap somebody in the face and you fly off screen. Like, so. but I think that's just... I think it's very basic what I'm saying. It's like, oh yeah, Mario, the more you hit him, he turns red. And then he's right. like blood red and you just
maybe
like...
he loses his hat.
Yeah.
Do a Virtua Fighter style thing where he loses, you know, articles of his costume and shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like Fighting Vipers, you mean?
No, God. No. I think Kage loses his mask in Virtua Fighter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you,
when you hit
him
enough.
That's
but, funny. And I'm trying to think of Street Fighter if that would work. Because, you know, Fight Night, I have not played Fight Night, but I heard that it works really well. You know, that whole, mm-hmm. Like, you know, fatigue thing.
Right.
So I'm trying to think if you saw the same thing in Street Fighter. But the problem is that it's such a precise game.
Yeah, I don't think it
versus,
would work in Street Fighter.
You know, versus Fight Night, which is boxing, in which, you know, a well-placed hit could possibly knock you out even if you were, you know, fully healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like,
just not
as
like
we've
that.
Seen with many Mike Tyson fights.
Yeah.
I'm the greatest.
Now, what about
I'm
this?
The greatest.
What if they had a game like in the Street Fighter vein where if you hit an individual body part a certain number of times,
no
the,
more children.
That limb just goes, huh?
I said no more children if you get hit in the nuts.
No. Like the arm goes limp or like he can't stand on the leg readily or he's like... holding the leg up or not favoring the leg.
Time
or,
killers.
You know, just like... Yeah, no, like Time Killers was something different.
Time Killers
was shit. Total shit. Such a suck-ass game. But, like, in that aspect, would it be like... I think that would add more strategy if you had to fight with, like, a guy who's, like, lost the ability of one of his arms or one of his legs, you know?
Oro from Street Fighter 3.
But his arm switches.
Oh, yeah, that's right, it does.
No,
Oro, there's this character in Street Fighter 3 who wraps up his arm because he's that cocky.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're going to bring up disadvantage, let's just bring up Dan. He's the most retarded fucking character. Jesus.
Did we talk about this last time?
The worst character ever.
Let me show you my picture.
Yeah.
Wait, did we talk about this last week or at the party?
I think at the party.
Probably at the party.
Okay. Show you my picture. Hadouken. Hadouken picture.
Yeah.
Shorty picture.
God.
For talking.
He was like really, really horrible. Go to but like, again. What
they
do
should,
you think?
They make a
you
life
think
meter
you would
out
play
of Dan.
A game like that? Would you like that? Huh?
I said they should make a life meter out of Dan. So that the more hurt you get, the more bruised up he looks, and the more useless he
the
looks.
The more you look like Dan.
The Doom Meter.
In Call of Duty, if your character keeps on getting hit, he starts to grow a ponytail, then he starts to learn Japanese.
And then he starts to leave photos
of his loved ones all over the battlefield.
He like writes an autograph and throws it and dies.
Call in the strike team. Call in the anti-air.
Hey. God, what the fuck?
That's what Dan says.
But what would... Hey, shut up.
You shut
up. What would you think? Hey.
Hey.
What would you think? Would you want to play a game like that? I mean, would it be more strategic? Would you think that would work?
It might, but...
It could work given the, you know, they have to target it to the right audience. They have to make sure that they do it right.
And it can't be time killers.
Yeah, it can't be time killers. I feel like that concept's been tried before, and I just... Maybe in Weapon Lord...
What?
No.
Never played it.
I haven't played it, though, either, yeah. I think... Oh, wait. Bushido Blade. I think that did it.
Bushido Blade did do it, and Bushido Blade didn't have a life meter.
It didn't even have a life meter anywhere. It was just like, you get hit in the chest, you're done.
Mm. Yeah, or if you, you know, basically if you take the enough of a mortal wound, that was a very natural game, like in terms of figuring out when you were trying to, well, when you were about to fall or when you could turn the tide of the battle. But that game was hard as hell, man.
Yeah, it was really difficult.
That shit was good, but it was tough.
I think I got mad at it because I was just like my drunk roommate kept on beating me. Because because he had no fear and he just kept on coming at me. I'm just like, God damn it. If this were like Marvel vs. Street Fighter, he'd be done. But now he's, you know, one sword swipe and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
I think what made that harder was also the projectiles. Because they would just keep on nipping you at the legs and you'd start moving slower.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I was like, everything is real except for the fact that you have infinite shurikens. Great. Thanks. But have we exhausted this topic? Should we get to the male Baggio?
I think we should do mail that. Baggio. Super Mail Mail Baggio Brothers.
Males.
So, you know, what's the verdict? Good or no?
It has to be done right, and I think that it should not be the only method going here on out. I mean, I think there's room for both, basically. It just has to be done right the other way. The other way carries more of a risk, I think, design-wise. But it's a risk that not many people who are just kind of like into shooters and stuff really see or care about. But I think it's a risk though.
Yeah, I think it's something that should be experimented with other games, but not forced.
Right.
Something that maybe have as an option. You know, this mode shows you your life meter. Like this mode shows you how well you're doing based on visual stimulus. You know, Guitar Hero. You can imagine like Guitar Hero, kind of like maybe like Back to the Future type of shit, whereas you start fucking up, like you get some kind of visual stimulus like the photo, but on your character.
Marty McFly.
What the hell? Oh God.
His question as well as the other ones that came in the mail. I'll chime in when possible, but if you people tuned in last week, I had that 20-minute expose on nothing. So I technically already answered, but I'll, you know. Try again. Let's see. Recently, I heard that Fable 2's controversial game death mechanic was dropped. If you don't know, basically when you lose all your health, you can either trade XP, experience points, to revive yourself, or you keep on getting beat up by the thugs. It's like bullying. You're on the ground. It's kind of brutal. What happens is after a while of getting beat up and you getting disfigured, you get back up. And you now continue the game. Now you're disfigured and you can still play the rest of the game, but you might not pick up chicks and the whole world reacts to your previous misfortune battles. Focus tester bitches didn't like the idea that there'd be a consequence to death in the game, so they hated it. Some did like it, though. But Molyneux cut out this crazy mechanic, and so now his game isn't as visionary or as original as it could have been. So in the end of this overlong letter, should games strive to be more realistic and casual in your interactions with the world? Oh, causal, sorry. Causal in your interactions causal. With the world. What if in a first-person shooter, every time you kill a guy, you feel metaphorically sick of doing it? Like in Mass Effect, when you kill someone, someone always says, what the fuck? And your team says, Shepard, you shouldn't have done that. Or like in Splinter Cell, where you're not supposed to kill civilians or innocents. Or in Call of Cthulhu, wherever you get shot, this directly gets affects the gameplay. You get shot in the eye, then your vision is blurred. This is exactly what you're talking about, actually, Tony, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. It was a good segue. Or you get shot in the leg, you can't run or jump. Or if you get shot in the arm, you can't aim your weapon properly. So yeah, if we just stick to the old traditional game paradigms and mechanics, what revolution can there be in a game if we're not willing to accept it? Are we all just a bunch of traditional conservatives when it comes to games? Or do we want a revolution and it just needs to be executed well? I think the answer is the last one, obviously. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think we want a revolution, but we would like for it to be executed well. You don't want to have some, like, breakthrough shit and it doesn't work. Because once that happens, then everybody else will be afraid to do it, and it goes your revolution.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about a game like Gothic 3, which is basically a different type of Oblivion that shipped with a lot of bugs. If that were the only open-world RPG out there, people would be like, we can't do this. We don't have technology for this. This can't work. And then they screw it up, and then it's done. But you were saying something earlier before the show started about the death mechanic in Fable, like what your thoughts on it were.
Oh, yeah, I was, right? That was me. It wasn't him, right?
It was you.
It might have been me.
I was saying that it's kind of, like, really messed up that you have these, like, death mechanics and things like that, and it kind of makes me think about how I used to feel about death mechanic in certain games that have certain, you know, like, for example, I'll bring up Ninja Gaiden in the arcade. I was never really good at that game, so I didn't play it that much. But I recall just, you know, when you die and you have to continue, you're like in some chamber with a circular saw that's coming down from the ceiling. And as your continue meter is going down from 9 to 0, that thing gets closer to you. And he's like, start shaking his head like, no, right? And then once it gets to 0, it cuts him and his thing turns red and you die. And you're like, what the fuck? Dude, Ryu just fucking died, man. What the fuck? And you really feel it. I felt it. I'm emotional like that. So, you know, and then, like, for example, then, in Metroid Prime, when Samus dies and her fucking visor cracks and it's all fucked up, I did not want to see that. It made me not want to die at all in that game. And in Metroid Prime 2, I didn't even want to die. I was like, I don't even want to know what happens. And then in 3, I died and it wasn't so bad, but I overloaded on, like, I OD'd on Phazon. So that, I think it's a different death, than if you die regularly. Because she, like, turns into face on Samus and Dark Samus, and that's it. But you know, again, like that, it's like there was another game, Operation Wolf for Nintendo. But I think this is just because the guy's face was just really scary looking at it. I was like 6. But when you die in Operation Wolf, the guy has this really fucked up looking face as he's getting shot up by a whole bunch of army dudes. And that stuck in my head for a long time when I was little. And I'm thinking, you know, imagine if something like this happened in Fable. Do you think that it's normal to want to be able to stomach that every time you get beat or you lose all your health? You just have to get beat down for the next 30 seconds and have it be, like, really brutal?
Well, I think it goes past that in the sense that the consequences you were talking about is just a sensation of being subject to loss and failure and death. This is taking it one step beyond and saying, not only do you see a gross screen, this will affect your game.
Yeah.
Like, like in Operation Wolf, you saw the guy. You saw Ryu get cut in half in the game. Oh, well, you put in another quarter and you start over again. In this game, you have to turn off the Xbox if you don't want the death to affect you. Unlike in Mario, where you just lose a life. You just lose a life.
And he shrugs
and he kind of hops up and he goes down off the screen. And in this, it's like, you will either have to sacrifice some of your hard-earned experience, or you will go through the rest of the entire game at a disadvantage for the rest of the game. So that's kind of like, that's a real consequence, not just a visual one, but like a real in-game consequence, you know? So,
yeah.
And like, is that the type of thing that would make you be like, all right, fuck this, I'm not playing this game? Or does that intrigue you? And before you answer, Tony was going to say something.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Is this, okay, when he gets beat up, is it like showing the whole, you know, you getting your ass pounded for about like 5 minutes, and then you get up and you're like disfigured for the rest of the game? Or is it like a cutscene where you wake up like hours later, you're missing money and you look fucked up, but that'll heal in time?
It doesn't heal.
Apparently
what it sounded like.
Thing. Yeah,
but
it sounds
they changed
like you stay
because
like
focus
that.
Group focus testers hated it.
Well, that to me, I guess that's where the problem is. Yeah, it does ruin the rest of the game. I mean, but it only ruins that one aspect, right? People won't trust you, or you won't get like, you know, people won't like you just because of the way you look.
Yeah, but
that's
a big part of
yeah, that's
what
a major
makes
part
the game
of
what it is.
I mean, like, okay, so you have to pay more in stores, you won't get the same help that you get from people and stuff, but you could progress the same way other than that. Am I correct?
I don't
probably
know.
Should
because
have to.
Probably, things will probably play out differently. Any major mission objective that depends on your looks would probably play out much differently, and you'd have to do another thing.
Then that would be terrible.
But the other thing is that they changed it anyway. So I actually like, the more I think about it, I actually want this to happen. I'm actually upset that they changed this, because I do think that he should, I think that people should be afraid of dying in this game. I think they should be deathly afraid, and I think they should be, you know, there shouldn't be, now, the execution part is key. They shouldn't put parts where you're going to die. They shouldn't put parts where it's so hard that you know that it's really going to be hard and you have to go back and you have to grind, right? I think, or at the very least, if you come across a battle, like, there should be, like, a disembodied voice in the back of your head that says, you know, I don't think I can take this guy down. Maybe I should retreat. And then that signals
That'd be
you
cool.
to say, okay, this boss is really hard. You're going to have to level up. But I really do like the idea that if you mess up, it will affect the rest of your game. And the reason for that is just because I just like the idea of consequential gameplay where, like in Deus Ex, if you kill somebody, the rest of the game, like if you kill somebody you're not supposed to, the rest of the game, people are going to bring that up to you. It doesn't have real hard consequences in terms of like you can't complete a mission this way. You have to do it in another way, which I think is awesome. I would actually like that. But it has more of like, you talk to a person in one instance and you've gone through a mission without killing anybody, and he gives you extra ammunition and a new weapon. But if you go in gung-ho and guns blazing and you're reckless and you kill people without needing to, he'll say, you know what? I don't like the way you took care of this mission. I don't like the way that your mentality went. So you're not going to get any weaponry from me. You're going to get a lockpick. Or like some other non-violent weaponry. You know,
you almost became a Jill sandwich.
You almost became a Jill sandwich.
No, but honestly, I think that's different than, say, if you were to take that same game and same kind of gameplay like a Deus Ex, say you go in guns blazing or not, and you lose, you either, you know, you get shot too much, you fall out, you fatigue, and then say right after that you're like, let's say you're held captive by the people who you were attacking, and they take all your shit. And they may leave you with, like, something just bare essential, like, just because, you know, you need to get out and continue playing the game. So you manage to, say you're tied up, and you manage to find something to cut what you're being tied up with, and you free yourself and whatnot. Now all you have at this point is that knife. You used to have mad guns and money and clothes and shit, and that stuff is necessary to kind of get through the game. Now you have that no more. Now you have to continue from here with just this knife. Is that something that is like a consequence that's reasonable where, okay, now you have to continue from this point in the game as if you were from the beginning, and it makes it so much tougher because now you got to deal with, like, let's say robots with a fucking knife.
It depends on how they execute it. If they make it such that the game then can also adapt to a stealth mechanic where you can get through it with a knife, then bring it on.
Of course, okay. And that's the way it should work.
Yeah. I think if it's something like in Metroid, for example, like in Metroid, you get stripped of everything in the middle of the game because you died.
Yeah.
Then obviously they haven't thought things through.
No.
You know.
And then now you got to spend like 15 minutes getting all your energy back
and getting all, exactly. But and I think that's the conceit in Fable where it's just like you can get through the game. It just plays out differently.
I'm sorry. The thing that I would prefer is that if you do get beat up and stuff, it affects your game, but only momentarily until you until you fix it. Like, for instance, you're beat to disfigurement, you have to go out
plastic
and earn
surgery.
Money so that you could so you could fix yourself up. And until then, you're gonna be like a fucking outcast.
I think that would be a good idea too, to be able to restore yourself with some work.
Exactly. I think that would be better than, the rest of the game you're disfigured.
I guess, but that's to me, that's still playing to our concessions as gamers saying, this is the way it should be. And frankly, I think there should be one game that does it differently. I think there should be one game that pisses people off, that challenges them to think in different ways. I think that...
But I don't like those games.
Well, then you don't have to buy it.
They want me to buy it. I mean,
I think people should. I think you should, and I think you should give it a shot if it comes out. You know, if you don't like it, then I can buy it off of you. But you know what I mean? Like, basically, the point is that not everyone's gonna like everything, but something should be given a chance to come out. And you know, he kind of complains about focus testers, and half the time focus testers don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And I think that it should come out. I think there is a subset of people who should be able to experience the way that he's trying to bring new ideas to the fold. You know, we're not going to advance in games unless we try new things. And I think for Focus S is to kind of whine and most, I don't like the fact that there's a consequence. Well, you know, there's a consequence to death, period, in real life.
Yeah, right, right.
You know?
Yeah,
and
I mean,
at least here they're letting you get back up, you know? So it's like, maybe they should, again, I know that people always say this, but this would satisfy both worlds. Maybe there should be an option. Permanent death, not permanent death. You know, like, you could play the game disfigured, or you say, you know what, I'm the type of gamer who likes the old style. Let me turn on the Switch to say that I can fix my disfigurement.
Ninja dog mode.
Ninja dog mode. And also, before you say that thing, Tony, I'm wondering, Al, like, what are the consequences of death in MMOs? Usually it's you lose your gold, half your gold, right?
It depends.
Or experience,
you know, because World of Warcraft makes it easy, and that was one of the reasons why it was so successful, playing to gamers' lack of desire for consequence. Used to be for Warcraft that every time you died, your equipment would lose 25% of its durability.
Okay, so you'd have to get it fixed.
Right, but it used to be that when your equipment's durability went to zero, it would break, and then you would not be able to use it anymore. You'd have to get new armor. Everybody bitched about that because they were like, oh my god, what if I get like this super piece of armor I did all this work for and it breaks? So what they did was they made it so that when your durability goes to zero, it just doesn't have an effect on you, and you have to get it repaired, which costs a lot of money sometimes. Especially if
you could still, but you wouldn't have to re-find it.
Exactly. You wouldn't have to recreate it if it was created, or you wouldn't have to go and spend hours and hours in a dungeon to get it again if it broke. You just have to take it to the armor and then pay like a, you know, money proportional to the level of the item.
Right.
But then you have other games where you die and you lose 10% of your experience points, like Final Fantasy. And like, I think Dark Age of Camelot does that. There's also times when you die and your corpse is on the ground and
people can loot it.
Right, people can loot it. Like, basically, you have to go back to your corpse like in Diablo, and if you don't go back to your corpse, you don't have anything. Then it was, you know, speaking in that same vein, Ultima Online, you could kill people and take their shit.
That's hilarious.
So, you know,
that
once you die, basically...
Diablo when it started.
Yeah, and I used to be in Diablo until they, you know, made it Ears.
Well, that's because people said, okay, you know, there are just people coming in here and cheating and stuff, and they're stealing all my shit.
Yeah, you know, if it gets out of hand like that, I can understand. But, mm-hmm. like, you know, for example, in Ultima Online, I think it's still like that. It's like, you know, you can kind of con somebody, and you stab in the back, you kill him. And you kill him, and you take all this shit, and you can steal their house and shit. You can, like, take the deed to their house, and you can't go back in their house. And, you know, in MMOs, it's gotten a lot more user-friendly because people like to bitch about things. It's not as tough as it used to be.
The other thing I would say is that in MMOs, it's in a game that's not an MMO, it's a challenge imposed by the designer. This is your challenge, and that's why it kind of upsets me when people are like, I don't like consequence. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah, one sec.
Yeah.
What? Well, why'd you put him back?
Oh.
Because it tastes like armpits.
Yeah, take him. Did you close the thing? Did you close it?
Did you turn it on?
But, like, open. You know how to open it, right?
Are you going
to
eat that
steak?
Okay,
let him loose.
Want to split it?
Yeah. Huh? Let him out, yeah. Just keep your door closed. I will come out there and beat that woman. God.
Gonna eat that stapler? Wanna split it?
Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
What? You're back. Why? Okay, sure. That is great. Great idea. Get out.
Episode 83, Housecast. But yeah, like I was saying, it's like this is the challenge set forth by the developer. As a player, this is, you know, why you play games, to surmount. Well, not why everybody plays games, but, you know, part of why people play games is to surmount a challenge. So surmount it, or go play an easier game. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Now, and in MMO, it's kind of like, well, these are people being assholes. So
yeah, but like, there's not much you can do against griefing.
Huh? Yeah,
not much you can do against.
Shame on a griefer who tries to run game on a griefer. What were you saying, Tony, before Al spoketh?
Oh, yeah, I was saying this is like 20 conversations about the same thing. Somehow this, in a roundabout way, this became the main topic and, like, you know, what the on-screen thing, and we were just talking, like, how it's developed, right, and stuff. It's the same thing happening all over again.
Yeah, as opposed to...
If this is well-executed and stuff like that, I guess we're just, you know, we're suggesting to gamers, don't complain if it's well-executed. You know, if it's executed and you don't like it, well, somebody else will. The whole thing is, I don't want a game to turn out to be Fester's Quest. You know what I'm saying? Like, you die, you got to start all over.
From the beginning.
All your shit is gone. You know, that's not what I want. At the same token, I don't want something to be affected very early in the game. Like, for instance, in this game, right, if you're killed or beaten to disfigurement early in the game and it's going to affect the rest of the game, why even play?
I would still play through that shit to see how many people I can scare. But, but the one saving grace, there's always the on-off button. Which is what people were doing in the focus testing group. They were actually turning it off.
Yeah, but this shouldn't... I mean, that shouldn't be your, you know... that shouldn't be your cause to play a game. I'm like, okay, I have an off button.
No, but people still do it. You know. Yeah. Like in Resident Evil 4, when they're like, shit, I didn't complete this, you know, level, or I had 7 deaths in my record, I'm going to turn it off and try it again. And I was always too lazy to do it.
Oh, that sounds like Don't Make Cry. Fuck, man, I died, and I don't want to try again, and I can't reset the game, because if I try again, I don't have the items that I use. Turn it off, turn it back on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you save it and do a hard
consequence of death
reset.
Right there.
Huh?
There's a consequence of death right there, except the difference is Devil May Cry is hard as shit.
Yeah.
So,
what were you saying, Tony?
Fondo.
I was not.
Tony.
Tony was.
Hmm?
You were saying something when I said something about
something or other.
Devil May Cry.
Everybody's saying something.
Everybody's
God damn
saying
it, bitch!
Something.
That's it! Your sickness is affecting everybody!
Episode 83, Sick Cast.
Let's go to the next question.
And
this one doesn't make any
this
sense.
This question to disfigurement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's going to work around scaring people.
Even Hope did. Hope, what was that?
Vertigo says, now I've never played Gears of War before, but since it was hailed as the 360 swan song, which I commented on this last time, it's not the swan song because the 360 is nowhere near dead.
But did he know what swan song meant?
I don't know. He's actually, I believe he hails from Germany, so I think English might
fucking
be a second
Germans.
Language. My, what?
God damn it, you killed my people.
Oh, come on.
Well, actually, not my people.
You're Puerto Rican.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm dating one of the people you killed.
Oh, okay. Oh, please. No, but like, all things considered, I gotta say, all things considered, considering this is a second language, he speaks it a lot better than people for who English is a first language.
So,
yeah, but he fucked up. Swan song,
no,
you
no,
suck.
No, 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 no. I'm excusing that. I am excusing that because he speaks English way
kidding.
Better than fucking, like, one of the questions that we got down later.
Nuclear.
Nuclear, what?
Are you at
all excited for Gears of War 2? I already answered this. I said yes.
Yeah, I guess. I haven't seen the trailer yet. I heard about it. I won't really be excited until I get more meat on it, because now it's just
meat.
One big bone, and I haven't finished Gears of War 1 yet, sorry.
Me neither.
But I will soon, sometime.
Mm-hmm. Where are you in that game?
Like the second to last stage, I think, chapter something. Is after the
something.
After the town with the stupid tank mission, and then after you finish the tank mission, you go and like have that big siege. After that, then you're in the forest. Yeah, like the rainforest. It's like a chapter after that, I think.
Did you go down into the subterranean areas yet?
No, I'm in the rainforest.
Okay, so you're on chapter 3, I believe.
Yeah, 3 or 4.
3 out of 5. No Brumac, not PC.
Mm-mm.
No, it's relatively short though. I mean, that game could be done in like 6-7 hours.
Sitting. If
but,
you do that,
I wasn't
part
good,
right.
So it took me, you know, in real time, it took me a lot.
Yeah, I didn't get past the Berserker.
What?
Yeah, that's where I am.
We need to play.
What?
I said we need to play.
Oh yeah, we sure do.
But you don't have your 360 connected to live yet, do you?
No, I'm gonna get it though.
Okay, when you get it, we're gonna do that.
Okay, cool. All
right.
McDove asks, "Hey, Try Against People. Very interesting your discussion of the state of PC gaming. I was very interested to hear this alliance. I have a decent PC, also having a 360 and a Wii. I preferably buy for the console for the main reason that it will play well and look decent no matter what. Whereas with the PC, I just don't know how well it'll run. I don't care about which control method is better. I don't believe mouse is better over controller or vice versa. I play better with a controller but can hold my own with a mouse. I think it's whatever the player prefers and whatever the player is exposed to the most, but that is a whole different thesis on itself. My whole point is this. The average gamer is the average gamer scared of buying PC games now because they just don't know how their computer will stack up? I find that I need to upgrade something every year to play a game that is guaranteed to run well on a console, which is a set piece of hardware for at least 5 years. Considering that this alliance consists of Intel, Microsoft, AMD, ATI, and NVIDIA, would tackle the issue of affordability of PC components in the market. Given that, I would spend, say, $500 Australian for a console. That will last me 5 years, but I could see me spending an average of possibly $200 Australian a year to keep my PC up to par. Do you think that developing a game for PC is harder, given the rapid change in computer components and the unpredictability of the future, than that of console being a set piece of hardware that won't change?
Isn't it the same? I mean, like, you know, they just put together a game, you know, technology be damned.
No, because you have engines that are reused and assets that are reused for, you know, certain things. In the sense of the PC, though, and I think I clarified this last week, but, you know, not being a coder myself, I was hoping that a developer could clear this up. But when you talk about unpredictability of PC components, I think that's a misconception. PC components get better faster. They don't get to a point where you were developing for a PlayStation 2. Now you develop for a PlayStation 3. That is totally different. It does not work that way, period. It's all about, which is what I said last week, it's about the API. It's about which version of DirectX you're trying to run.
And I could put some insight on that.
What?
I could put some insight on that.
Yes, please do. I need that because I am like, I don't call it a hello.
Now, you know, given that you mentioned what I was going to mention, there really is a low unpredictability. It is relatively predictable in terms of what you can produce on a PC. given that you have DirectX. DirectX is something that basically is, it's like a shell that you can program for, and then outside of that shell, it does all the work to connect to everything else. So you don't have to worry about, oh my goodness, this person has an NVIDIA, or this person has an ATI card, or this person has some piece of shit integrated graphics, power level 6000 card.
And, power level 6000, Jesus.
And you can code for one base, you know, DirectX, and DirectX will handle the rest of it. So that if you want to make a game that's DirectX 10, and you make that game as strong as possible using everything DirectX 10 has to offer, then you scale it down, it'll work on any PC that will be able to scale the settings to whatever the user wants. So programming the game isn't that hard. But then when you come into developing for a game, say for PS2, PS3, Xbox 360, Wii, DS, and PSP, and of course you come up with a different game that goes for the DS and the PSP, or maybe get a different game that goes for the, just the DS, and then a game that goes for the Wii and the PSP, because they like to do that. You have one set of code, but so many different sets of interfaces to work with. So it's harder to develop a game for multiple consoles than it is to develop a game for the PC.
Turning the tails, yep.
And even if you were developing a game for the PC and porting it over to consoles, it would probably be a little easier. But having a game that was developed for a console and porting it over to PC is actually probably a lot easier if you're lazy. But if you want to optimize, because I mean, it's something that's a given in like a lot of the Capcom ports. They're really like shitty, but they're easy to do. But if you wanted to actually put the effort into making use of the hardware that's on the PC, like a keyboard or mouse sometimes, you know, it takes a little bit of work. But I think it's a lot easier than developing, say, something for 360 and then putting it over to PS3.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was getting to, though. I mean, like, you know, if they develop for, like, say, DirectX 10, and, you know, that's what I was getting to. Like, if they direct, you know, make the game for a higher-end kind of model of the PC, whatever PC you have that is inadequate or whatever, you could adjust those settings. So, whatever, they'll just put it out there. I mean, but I think it'll be harder for, well, you just said it, the platforms, because of the controllers and stuff. I mean, they have to program for that as well.
There's that
with
video.
PC, they have one set thing.
There's that. You also have to scale it down. Like, if you're trying to run Crysis on a PC, it's not, I'm sorry, Crysis on a console, not happening. You got to scale that down.
No.
Yeah,
no,
and it's got to be manually scaled down by the coder, not by the user.
Yeah. So you sacrifice things, you know, like people always like to say, oh, my console game is always going to run well no matter what. Yes, that's true, but it's also always going to run potentially at 20 frames a second because that's the optimal frame rate, and it can't get any smoother.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, you get a good PC, you can run that. Like, I used the Gears of War comparison, I think, when I was answering this question. It's like, I look at Gears of War on 360, it ran okay, but after having played the PC version, like, Gears of War on 360 looks choppy and blurry to me. It does not.
Wow.
It doesn't look anywhere near as good as it does on my PC, period.
Wow.
And of course, it doesn't play nearly as well either, because it's not using a mouse and keyboard. So it's like the PC version is better, period, you know, because they have the ability to scale up if you need to. So, like, yeah, if you don't, like, obviously, if you have a cheap-ass PC, it's like having a freaking NES. But that's the whole point, you know, and I don't think that
okay.
I don't think that you have to spend, and I don't know how much 200 Australian converts to.
I really don't.
But I don't, you don't
you
have
want me to
spend
find
that
out?
Much a year, huh?
No. Is it comparable to your euro or?
No, I don't know. I don't think so though. But yeah, you don't have to spend that Al, you don't have to spend that a year to just keep your PC up to par, right? I mean,
No, I don't think so. But we'll find out how much 200 euro, Australian dollars are in U.S. dollars. Let's see, right. 200 Australian dollars is 185 U.S. dollars. I don't think that you could spend
$180.
Chipped out of 15 bucks. let's see. I could theoretically not spend $185 a year. Say if I get you know, a GeForce 8800 GT, and I get a fat computer, everything, $800. That computer itself should not have to be upgraded at all per year. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's something that should be able to last as it is, like a console, for at least 2 years, unless you feel compelled to be on the top of the technology curve, yeah. In which case you're going to be buying like $500 worth of hardware every 6 months because you always want to get the newest thing.
Right. In my experience, it's been like this. If you want to run your PC games as well as they look on a console, you will probably spend the same, maybe a little bit more, over the course of 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's like you spend $200 on a video, $300 on a video card even. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You're set. If you get the right video card, you'll be set for 3 or 4 years. And mm-hmm. then by the time year 5 rolls around, the more advanced games, you can still scale them down and they will look good. Still.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even remember the last time I bought something for this computer that I have right now in terms of equipment. I mean, granted that I did kind of get video cards from people because I didn't want to buy anything because my hardware is so antiquated at this time. But I only replaced my video card because it failed, not because I needed something better to run a game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like when I do get my new computer, it's going to be that way until the next big, big revolution comes around.
Let's put it this way.
It's all about the Pentiums, baby.
Let's put it this way. I think the card I've had for, I think I said about a year and a half. I could be overestimating, but I've had it for quite a while. It's not the newest thing on the block. And I got it for under, did I get it for under 200? I believe I did, or maybe around 200. And it still plays Crysis, which is the one that everyone says, oh, I gotta upgrade my stuff to the newest stuff and I have to spend $500.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't play it well on the highest settings, obviously.
Because everybody wants to play it on the highest settings,
right.
So I can play
it. But it plays well on the settings that I put it at, and the settings that I put it at, it still looks freaking great.
It still has the
emergent gameplay, it still has the whole, like, you know, open ended gameplay thing. It still works, it still has all the physics, you know. I don't need to update my card. I probably will only because I want to, and I like tinkering with it. So, again, the question of updating it, is spending $185 American or $200 Australian every year, no, you don't have to do that. You spend as much as you would on a console, maybe a little bit less, you know, on, what are 9600 GTs now? Like, they're what?
200?
They're less than 200, actually. They're
like
180. You spend $180 for a card like that, you can run all the RTS games, you can run Crysis at a decent frame rate, at a decent, what's it called, a decent settings. And if you're unhappy with it, 2 years later, you can buy a second one of that same card which you have, which will probably cost $90 by that point, in 2 years, and stick it in the motherboard, and you'll have double the power.
Mm-hmm.
Or $105 Australian.
105, yeah. So, I mean, it's like, and think about the fact that, you know, they probably charge a lot more for console games than they do PC games in general.
Oh, yeah.
In America, I don't know how it is in Australia, but in America, you're paying $60 for a console game. Two Worlds is on Steam for $10.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Two Worlds isn't the best RPG out there, but it's there for $10.
Yeah, okay. And all the Australian numbers are inflated compared to us. It's like, I think they pay like $80 Australian or something
right,
like that.
It's expensive there.
And it looks like it's expensive, but it's not if you compare it to the fact that $200 is $185 here. So I would guess that $80 Australian is probably like $65 maybe. So maybe they're paying like $5 more than we are.
Right.
But that's the cost of importing. You know.
Now that we're moving backwards to his first question, is the average gamer scared of buying PC games because they don't know how their computer will stack up? The way I answered this was, I think it's more of a cost prohibition. I think they know that their computer won't run it and they don't want to spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that for a gamer that knowledge is the problem necessarily. Like, yeah, all the numbers mm-hmm. will be confusing, but when it comes down to it, they'll know whether or not, like, yes, this will run well. Because I think, well, I could be wrong, though. I mean, I'm not, you know, average gamer, mail in and say whether or not you're scared of, you know, not knowing if your thing will run it or if you're just scared of the price tag. I mean,
yeah.
What do you guys think?
I think I'm an average gamer when it comes to PC games, and I don't buy games on a PC for that mm-hmm. reason. Like, I haven't bought Crysis yet, although I wanted to buy it and just have it. I haven't bought Bioshock yet. There's some other games. Like, there are games that I have on 360 that I could have had on the PC, but I would have rather had it on the PC. Like, for example, all right, games that I could, that I want to get, but I want to get for the 360, like The Club. And I think, is Army of Two coming out for PC? I don't even
know.
Yeah, Army of Two.
Oh, Army of Two.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah, I think this is only 360 PS3. But, like, if that game came out on PC, I would want to get it on 360. Although, I would probably have a better time playing it on the PC. You know, like, The Club is something that I would definitely have a better time playing on the PC because of the aiming. You know, aiming on the analog stick isn't really my best thing. Mm-hmm. And it's all about running around really fast, shooting stuff, you know, as you're running around. So you're trying to sprint, aim, and turn your character all at the same time. And it's easier to do when you have one hand on the mouse moving it around, another hand on the keyboard directing your directions and pressing with your pinky, like a shift button to sprint or something like that. Whereas on the controller, it's like you got to deal with. Wait, no, I'm not. Yes, I'm almost there. What the hell?
Wow.
No, I said bless you.
Oh, I thought you sneezed,
no,
and I was going to
say bless you.
My girl's
sick. You know, forgive her. She's Jewish.
Stop it. Oh, that's terrible. Continue, Al.
Yeah, so basically, I think that there are a lot of PC games that I would like to get. But I know my PC won't be able to run them, so I won't be able to enjoy them immediately. So I would rather get them on something that I would enjoy it immediately on.
Or if this is a platform that you choose, you want to wait till it's appropriate.
That's right. Like, I'm certainly going to wait until I get my new computer to get Bioshock. And
right.
I'm not getting it on 360 for nothing.
For nothing.
For nothing. Bioshock, nothing.
Let's see. This is... Oh, wait. Before I move on, there's a comment on my blog, actually, about this that I was, like, looking at before, about this question.
No.
User TCLVIS actually commented, and I wanted to read this because I was browsing, and this caught my eye. Yes, the console is set for several years, thus offering an appealing form of uniformity, but then so are the games. Graphics and memory are limited by the hardware and cannot grow because the technology is set.
Mm-hmm.
That would be why console games get sent to PC with more content, etc., because on a PC they simply can. The current crop of consoles have better hardware than previous consoles because PCs and their tech were driving that change and progress. It's a very good point. The PCs are the things that push these things forward, even though they get, you know, slapped around like stepchildren.
That's true.
And if it's important to you, you can upgrade incrementally. One part here, one part there. Not the huge one-shot outlay of cash that a console and its equipment requires. Plus, varied PCs can adjust settings, but that PC game will run on many types of PC with one development effort. Three consoles mean three extra development areas on a title, which equates to more time spent on one game rather than time spent on more games. I understand why certain developers work with only one or two platforms. It saves them time, period.
And money.
I personally think the mouse and keyboard do offer more control because there are more buttons. Some type of games I do prefer on console. I love my 360, but I love my PC more. And I need it for more than just gaming, so it's also more versatile and useful. Porn! As for upgrading my PC, I'm just kidding, he didn't say that. I find a particular joy in it. If someone else doesn't buy a console, it'll be done. You're right, it's all personal preference, but a laser mouse is way better than an analog stick any day. Amen. I agree.
Again, 25 conversations about the same thing, because we talked about this. Do we want a one-console future? That would make everything easier, wouldn't it?
Well, we should to touch on that just a little bit, I think we should clarify, though, that we're not talking about one piece of hardware. We're talking about one platform.
Mm-hmm. No. I totally understand that. But I'm saying in terms of, you know, developing these games, it's easier for PC, according to his statement, because, you know, it's expandable.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Incremental, you know, and if they have to do it to platforms, they have to change the codes for three different platforms. So, again, we go into the one platform kind of idea. Would that be?
Yeah, I don't want it for a few reasons, but we'll get into that either later or we can listen to it.
I mean, I like
episode.
Identity. I mean, you know, that's the whole thing. I like having my Xbox, and I wouldn't want the Xbox Wii.
Xbox.
But, yeah, that's another point. The whole, like, hot-rodding, like, people like to fuck around with their cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with computers. You like to tinker around with it and see how much power you
Absolutely.
Can get out of it. So it's just fun.
Pimp my computer out.
It's not,
my loner
it's not
computer.
For everyone. But this is an interesting little question for Al that he has to ponage. Al, why don't you read it and answer this one? Yeah, this is from the Game Rankings guy, by the way. So we've got a celebrity on our list.
Yay!
He says, when you guys were talking about Dragon Quest titles looking good on other systems and the PS2 came up, the Antipode mentioned Dragon Quest 9. He meant to say Dragon Quest 8, as Dragon Quest 9 is currently slated for the DS. Sorry to nitpick, but this is one of my top 5 series of all time, and I had to mention the error. Well, quite technically, it wasn't really an error.
Yeah!
I recall saying Dragon Quest IX, when we were talking about DS games like Dragon Quest Monsters Joker, and it might have been an editing issue. I'm not even going into trying to find out where I said it, but I know I did not make a mistake when I mentioned Dragon Quest IX, because I was talking about the DS game.
What, you're talking about the PS2 Dragon Quest 8?
No, I wasn't talking about the PS2. Austin was talking about the PS2. And it somehow came up that I said Dragon Quest IX when he was talking about PS2. But
it probably was like this. You were probably like, oh, yeah, I forgot to mention back then.
Yeah, there could have been something like that, because I know we were bringing up a whole bunch of games that Square put out on other platforms, and my contribution to it was their up-and-coming Dragon Quest IX, how great that looks. And it may have been delayed, it may have been editing, but I just want to clear it up that I was not mistakenly referring to 8.
Al knows his Dragon
Quest.
I think you're lying.
You're full of bullshit.
Objection!
This guy is right. You suck.
Tony.
What?
Shut the fuck up. That hurt,
so,
didn't it?
So, are you satisfied with having with defending the onslaught of Game Rankings?
Yes, I am satisfied, and I hope that I'll never have to do that again.
He lives in New York, man. So you guys can get in there.
Shit.
You guys can get in a cage match.
Come to your house. Knock on the door.
Go
be
hang
like,
out
really?
And have some drinks.
The power of Game Rankings versus the power of Dreads. Next
what
message
podcast
from
podcast was that though?
Huh? Oh, that was 81.
81. Okay.
Oh, recently. Okay.
Message from Josh, one of the readers and listeners who contributed his Mass Effect review. I'm not going to try to pronounce your last name because
Smile.
Smile.
It's
that's why
L's.
You put the smiley face on there.
Wow.
I would say
Smile.
It's Schmiel. All
right, that's what I said, and he said it was wrong.
Really?
Schmilly, Schmilly, Schmile,
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 Schmile.
It's Smile.
It's not
Schmile.
French.
It's Smile.
It's
German.
It's Jamma,
you hear that?
No, wait. It's Jamamil.
It's what?
Jamamil. What difficulties do you guys play on for each instrument in Rock Band? I think.
Wait,
drums?
Rock Band?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I edited the question by accident and it didn't have Rock Band in there. I will say expert for guitar, hard and medium on drums, depending on what the song is. There's one song I could do on expert, and that's it. And vocals, it's either hard or medium.
Tony?
I think you should be next because
I only played it once.
Yeah, because you only played it once.
I know. I sing on medium. I play guitar on expert. And I mostly play drums on hard, except for some of the easier songs, some of the alternative tracks that don't have really complex drum beats. I play those on expert. Like Threes and Sevens and Sex Type Thing. And
yeah,
you know.
I hate you guys, by the way. You got me hooked to Threes and Sevens.
That song is, I like that song a lot. So next question.
Next question is from The Undertaker is King from the UK. Hey guys, I was just wondering, what is your favorite game you love to play, though it's really a shit game for the Venus 50 Cent Bulletproof, period. I hate to do it, the music is, but I still love playing that game, so what's yours? Question mark.
Run on sentences.
Right,
he wants to know
it.
What our favorite game that's a piece of shit to play. His is 50 Cent Bulletproof.
Oh, it's a guilty pleasure kind of thing. Okay. Wow. Really? Do you guys have one?
I kind of have one, but I'm trying to remember what it was. It's a game that Rob used to always say, why are you playing this piece of shit? Like, the game sucks. I'm like, shut up. Like this. I don't know what it is, but I remember that so much.
Let's see. Tony, do you have one? Because I'm still trying to think.
I mean, I guess if I had to say, you know, something that I was berated for, it would be Pikmin.
Really?
Because everybody that's seen me play Pikmin be like, they would like, you know, come to me and say, well, Ethan and Andrew be like, why the fuck are you playing this? This is the stupidest looking fucking Hope. You're not in it. You know what? I am not a slave driver. They want to work willingly. They do things for me because they like me. That's it. She thinks that I'm treating the Pikmin like slaves.
Slave driver.
So, Hope, I am not a slave driver. You take that tone back! So, Austin, what was
your game? I don't know. I think usually when I encounter games that really are bad, I just avoid it. And by the way, Pikmin is not a bad game. First of all, it's not a bad game. Second of all...
No, it's not Ethan, a bad game. I mean, like...
Ethan,
you know, that's not what I was
Ethan saying. Already admitted to saying, I can't get past cutesy stuff. Third of all, Andrew blows. We haven't seen him in like 10 years. So if you're out there, McBone, you blow.
McBone.
You know, that's what his mother said to me the other day. I brought back memories. Hello?
Yeah, we're here. We're here. Don't worry.
You are?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes.
Stop yes. sniffing!
Yes. Yes.
My wife is sick.
Ah, well, that's not good. Last question from nobody. We're done. That's the bag.
Woo, bitches.
But you guys didn't answer the question.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't have one. Because usually when I encounter a really bad game, I don't play it anymore.
Okay,
fine. If you had to twist my arm, maybe...
Tomb Raider?
No, because Tomb Raider is actually a good game.
You like that?
No, it's actually the new ones are good games. The old ones are shit. New ones are good games, though.
You don't play the old ones?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I would never play the old. No. Step left. No, step
I'm
left.
I'm just asking.
Step left.
I'm not...
Step forward. Jump.
I am
miss
not
rope.
Accusing.
Step forward.
I'm asking.
Step left. Step left. Forward jump. Miss rope. Presented as a lithe athletic female, but she is nowhere near athletic until you get to the next gen ports. I would say Manhunt 2, uh-huh. Only because I bought it and now I'm dedicated to playing it, even though the first game is better and the second one is bleh.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the only one I could think of at this moment. I mean, I don't...
Oh, you know what? Family Guy.
Ah, yeah.
Fuck. Family Guy. Horrible game.
But you still
terrible.
Play it. Terrible. You loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely funny. Al?
Uh-huh.
Huh? Your
what?
Game. Huh?
I don't know.
That's disgusting.
Maybe
that
Ridge Racer,
like
but I don't think
up.
Ridge Racer's bad.
No. No, I don't think it was bad.
What, Ridge Racer?
Yeah.
Because I thought Al said something. No, nothing from you, Al?
I said that sound sounded like throw up.
Ew.
No, right? That was my wife.
That sounded like a burp, though. Like a really nasty one. Like,
oh, your sound.
It was,
oh,
that was
I
a cat, actually, farting.
Wow, cat fart.
Ew.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Shit. I can't think of it. Wait.
Al,
I think
you're breaking up
wait,
balls.
Wait,
come on,
no,
let's
wait,
go.
Wait. I'm thinking of it. No, never mind. Sorry. I don't know. It's probably some Dragon Ball Z game. Oh, yes.
You could say Dragon Ball Z.
This is a Dragon Ball Z game that now I remember this is the one it was. It was the one for the Saturn that was like the old fighting game. It was called Shin Butoden.
I never seen
Shin
that one.
I think I still have that game, actually. And it's got a whole bunch of characters and whatnot. And it got mm-hmm. the split screen and everything, but it's like a, you know, a CD version of the old Dragon Ball Super Nintendo games. And I like that game a lot, but it's not really all that interesting. It doesn't really have like a big story mode, and the gameplay is kind of flawed here and there. And Rob used to always be like, why are you playing this fucking game?
Why are you playing The Witcher, that
Rob?
Why are you playing The Witcher, huh?
Exactly. Rob is all over your shit, man.
Because he's witched.
He is the game police. That's what
the game police.
I think we destroyed this.
I think so.
End this before we destroy it anymore.
No.
Housekeeping. Go to Game Slaves Radio.
Or don't. Who cares?
No, go to Game Slaves Radio.
He made the...
Game Slaves Radio at gameslaves.net or go to iTunes, search for Game Slaves Radio. What else? Go to drfishypants.com, one of our contributors' websites.
Dr. Fishy Pants.
And go check out the Rock Band videos that Al and Tony star in. www.gamespot.com/user/MrChupon/video. And remember, when you spell Mr. Chupon, it's MrChupn. The number
one
zero.
1 second, guys.
1 second.
You better stop fucking sneezing.
Jesus.
I love you, but stop sneezing.
How do you say I love you after that?
Because he makes no sense.
Oh, we have that kind of, I'm going to get my ass kicked. So
all right, that's it. We're done. For Al. For Tony.
Oh, I'm going to get beat. I'm so
gonna He's
going to
get patapon.
Patapon, patapon, pon, patapon.
Patapon.
Pon, pon, patapon. I've been your pon, pata, chupon. You need to stop playing around with all the clowns and the wanksters. Good girls got to get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some neck up on it. While I stand up in the background and check up. Pata.
Chupa, 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 pon, chupa, pon.
Chupa, chupa, pona, pon, pona, pon.
Chupa, 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 vito, chupa, pon.
Sync up. Sync up.
Pata pata panty pod. Panty pod.
Wait.
Al, shut up.
Pause this because she's on the phone with her supervisor. Okay. I'm going to give her a healthy dicking down. That's what I'm going to do. Hell yeah.
I think she would want that.
That's what wives need.
But I thought that, you know, you're supposed to be, like, punishing bitches. Like, I'm gonna not give her a healthy dicking down.
That's more punishment for me.
She'll feel the pain from that. That'll teach her.
I will definitely
go without sex for years.
Dick.
Oh, okay. Thanks for calling. Grasp, cling, smack.
That shit. Anyway.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Fucker.
Victory.
All right, so.